Well, in our last episode, we were having a conversation around depression and really a sticky point in the church as a whole. And just want to continue that conversation. Last episode, we kind of broke down that kind of trying to break the stigma. So if you missed the last episode, be sure to go back and check that out and maybe come back to this episode. But today, going to continue the conversation, the dialogue around depression and why it's so important to talk about it. Welcome to Celebrate Recovery Official, a podcast that shares life change stories, courage, hope, and leadership wisdom centered around the Celebrate Recovery principles, all based on the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus helps us with his power to face our hurts, hangups, and habits and walk in that newness of life, to face those hurts, those habits, and even our broken relationships under his power. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the Global Field Director of Celebrate Recovery. And it's so good to be back with you here today. If you did, again, miss the last episode, please go back and check that out. Not that you won't benefit from this one, but it'll be helpful to kind of get the full context of what we're talking about. But talking about depression, and as I mentioned in the last episode, it's a tricky topic because as a church, we tend to, something about the brain, we tie it exclusively to depression. And to our faith, if we're struggling and feeling down, that must mean that we're not doing enough in our faith. We're not having a good enough faith, etc. And that could be a shame message. Sometimes we have mild cases. Sometimes we have clinical depression that requires medication. So if you've got people struggling with that, let's change that narrative and not shame our brothers and sisters that may need medication. In fact, in our testimonies, if someone does get off medication, which sometimes that is possible, I always make sure they add some kind of an excerpt that says a disclaimer that, and if you're still on medication, it's okay. Follow your doctor's instructions so people don't feel like we're celebrating this person getting off their medication. If I'm not off my medication, what does that say about me? But on last episode, we kind of unpacked some of those symptoms, just understanding of how it can feel heavy, numb, weighty. It's not to feel better, to get away from depression. It's actually just to feel. It's just kind of a numb space. The enemy tries to hijack us, and there's all kinds of symptoms. You can catch those on the last episode. But got into the relational aspect. So what do we do when we're in a place of depression, the relational aspect and just the component of being around people, emotional, and Celebrate Recovery's design is to organize what's in our heart and even what's in our mind. That's the mental aspect I'll talk about in a second, but be emotional. What's the things that need to be expressed so that I can begin to feel, not just to feel better, but to just feel, to take that lid, open that lid on depression that might have some anger, some grief underneath there that needs to be processed. So again, it doesn't always mean sadness. That's one of the big confusing things that I hear from people, that you can't struggle with depression if you don't feel sad. Now, a lot of times people are over-functioning and they're actually dealing with depression. They can't concentrate. They get stuck. And they have trouble staying connected. They stop doing the things that they really enjoy and never feel sad, but they're still struggling with some depression. So we talked about emotional, relational, and then we got into the physical. Right as we were ending the last episode, we're just talking about just the physical, even my posture. What am I putting in my body? And so I want to kind of continue that conversation, even thinking about it. I was reading this recently, just kind of speaks to that physical. They did a study and they found that people that who had injections in their face, I think it's called Botox, that keeps them from being able to fully smile, they also struggle with these feelings, right? There's something about our body actually carrying out the smile physically, gives us the power to feel, so that our body can experience that. So that's pretty fascinating. I think the physical aspect as we're dealing with our depression is, what's some things I can do that would bring a smile to my face? Not as the solution. This isn't go be happy. It's just trying little different things physically, but talked about the posture and taking how I sit in my chair and being mindful of that. Because depression, again, is trying to get me to do things that are least helpful. The junk food that I eat, not doing anything, lethargic and checking out, numbing myself out on, you know, when I'm watching that kind of thing. So just lying around all the time, not getting out of bed, all those things. And so sometimes, again, it may need medication, but this conversation is to not substitute the medication for the heart work. So what are the things that I can be doing in the heart work, which includes the physical, the emotional, the relational, to help me as I use medication if I need that, not shame that. But what about, you know, again, all this is just to kind of interrupt it, but what are the things spiritually? And that kind of feeds with a little bit of what I'm feeding my mind, but so asking good questions, you know, what does my relationship with the Lord feel like right now? Do I have friends who ask me good questions? Do I give them permission to ask me questions? If this is one of my struggles, hey, what's my action tendencies if I get in a bad spot? And again, we all have different ways of doing that. You know you, and invite somebody into that to be able to say, again, I don't want someone, when I say I'm feeling really depressed, well, you just need to feel happy. I don't need those kind of people. In fact, I want to tell people that's not helpful for me. But can they give space to kind of catch me in that? It's like, ugh, thank you for sharing. I'm so sorry you're hurting. And several podcasts back, where I talked about how do we remain present with people. That's a good one to listen to in conjunction with this point. But someone that will sit with me, that will be aware of what's happening and care enough to ask questions. How are you doing? Hey, I've noticed you've been pulling back a little bit. Can you share what's going on with your heart? I care about you. You mean too much to me. Is this one of those times that you're struggling? Hey, I've noticed this, and you told me that when you get in the spot, this tends to happen, and you gave me permission to speak into that. So as we're connecting with that and asking some questions, we need an atmosphere around us of people who love us, friends, family, forever family in the church kind of a thing, but that will connect with me, catch me, be with me in that, and then speak into those lies that I may be believing. Hey, can I offer you another narrative? Boy, that enemy's lying to you, isn't he? Do you see those as lies? Ugh, this is hard. Hey, can I remind you of a couple of things that how Jesus sees you in this space? Would that be okay? I'm getting permission. I want to kind of set my relationships up this way of people that would be willing to do this, and almost just that posture of what does God say about you in this space? What does God say about your circumstances? And I think that's a great question on the spiritual front. What is happening in your life these days? You know, sometimes, no, there's not much going on. Then you start unpacking, you go, oh, you got demoted at work. Oh, and you've been having some relationship struggles with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Maybe you got a pay cut. Maybe you lost your dog. Your grandma passed away several months ago, and it seems like it's so far removed, you shouldn't be struggling with that, but maybe there's something there. So those are great questions to ask that might connect with the emotional side, but the spiritual side is, when you lost your job, what's some of the things you're believing about yourself? This seems like a hard place. Is there anything that you're believing that you'd like to get out in the open kind of thing? So is spiritual side is, I don't have the energy to read right now. So are there things that I could listen to? Again, the spiritual side is so connected with the emotional and the cognitive, the mental side, because what I'm putting in me is essentially coming out of me. Think of it as a funnel. right? Whatever, if I watch reality TV, and guilty, I've watched reality TV. If I get on a binge and I'm just watching like 100 episodes of something, and I just get stuck in that, and it's just like, ugh. It's, you know, people always in conflict with each other, and it just takes you through this roller coaster of emotions. I'm just feeling this kind of spiritual heaviness. What am I putting into my mind, and what am I feeding it? And so maybe listening to something, maybe listening to the Bible, just put on the Psalms and listen to it. You can do that on the Bible Gateway app. There's other apps out there that read the Bible. I think it's Streetlights I've listened to. It's kind of a cool, they put some music to it, and it's one of my favorites that I listen to occasionally. But am I listening? What am I feeding? What am I allowing my ears to take in that'll feed my spiritual side? When I'm reading, is there anybody I'm talking? This is why the Celebrate Recovery process is so important, because we read scripture and we're actually talking about these questions that come out of a step study group, or things that we learn in the general meeting night. And when we hear a lesson, what are we learning from God's word? And sharing that in those groups actually feeds the spiritual side. And here's the thing, even if I'm struggling praying, just, Lord, I'm going to sit with you. I don't have the words, but I'm just going to be intentional just to sit with you and be present in silence and solitude. The cool thing is scripture says that he hears the moans and the groans in your heart that you're feeling in this place of depression, and just knowing that he is answering according to the will of God. He's actually breathing that oxygen into your heart, your soul, in that time of need. So I don't have the words to pray to you right now, Father, but I am going to be still and just as if you're sitting in the room with me. Lord, speak to me. That's such a great life-giving exercise. And if you've never done that, don't try to, I'm going to do it for an hour in silence and solitude. Try 3 minutes. Set a clock and just sit in 3 minutes and just, Lord, here I am. I'm going to sit in quiet. I'm going to turn the radio off. I'm turning everything else off. I'm just going to sit and breathe and be with you. Those are a couple spiritual components. I could go into more, but those are a couple things just to get your wheels turning a little bit. But what about the cognitive or the mental? What are the things that I'm thinking? And this is a good thing. And this is where that take the thoughts captive practice can be helpful, but not in the initial, I'm in a bad spot, just take it captive, you know. But I do want to be mindful of, and here's the thing, I think it's kind of confused a little bit on that take it captive. It almost feels like we're arresting it and, you know, throwing it to the ground and throwing handcuffs on. It's very violent. Taking it captive, imagine a little boy walking into your room and saying, Mr. Rodney, I feel really sad today. My response wouldn't be, well, think better thoughts. It would actually, oh, buddy, tell me, come here. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's making you think. What are you thinking about that might be leading to your what you're feeling? And so I'm trying to notice those thoughts and whether they're, you know, bad thoughts or even good thoughts, whatever. I'm trying to create space for that, so that I can help understand, is like, is there anything that I'm thinking that might be leading? If I'm thinking that I'm a failure, it would make sense that I feel like a failure. This is why the emotion side is so important in this component. We emotions are actually very honest. If I feel this, even if I feel numb, it could mean that I'm thinking something that may be off, but my emotions are very real. That's why depression is very real, and I can't shame the emotions that are coming with that depression, even if it is numbness. There may be some thoughts that may be distorted, but learning to slow that down and recognize that, maybe you get a journal and just write out, hey, what am I thinking about myself today? Reading can be a great way to disrupt the cognitive thinking that I'm in. The brain is such a great, beautiful muscle that needs to be exercised. So how am I exercising my brain? Is it just TV? well, maybe I need to shift gears and read something. And it doesn't always have to be something spiritual, by the way. Spiritual components are huge to fit that spiritual component. But the cognitive side, sometimes just reading something just to kind of interrupt and get my brain thinking on something else can be good. You're working that muscle. What am I reading these days? That can be helpful for me in that space. So I'm going to take a super fast break here. Just continue to talk about some practical things that we can do while we break the stigma and not shame it. What are the things we can do in that circle of heart work if in conjunction we do have to have some clinical help or medicine, that kind of thing? We're not going to substitute the medicine for the heart work. So what's some things that we can do? When I come back, I'll continue the practical things that we can be thinking about in that space. Stick with me. I'll be right back. Hey friends, I hope you're enjoying the conversation around depression last two episodes. Just want to remind you, if you're struggling with any suicidal ideation and feeling like it's just too much, can you make a commitment right where you sit to dial 988 and you will immediately get access to a professional that wants to listen and help you organize and get unstuck from that place. Please don't face this alone. You're too valuable. You're too loved. Too important. We need you. 988 if you're in a bad space. We thank God for you having the courage to call 988. Hey friends, welcome back. Right before the break, we're kind of just wrapping up that cognitive reading, interrupting. Again, all these things are just trying to interrupt what might be happening in this space, interrupting the pattern that we've fallen into, whether it is physical, whether it's spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, social, relational, that kind of thing, and just trying something new and being realistic about that shift. If we're not doing it at all, do small bite size and just try something new to interrupt that process. I kind of hit on this a little bit earlier, but is the relational. The relational kind of connects with the social. Again, this fits in a little bit with that spiritual conversation I was just talking about, but who are the people around me? Friends, this is why Celebrate Recovery is so important, because you have fellow strugglers who get where you are. They may not know exactly what you're going through, but they understand what you're going through. We have a common thread that's hurt. We know that we can't face this alone. And so my social networks, if I'm hanging around bad people in this space, I want to be mindful of that to get around healthy people, even if they're strangers. You think, well, I don't know anybody there. I'm a first timer. Hey, you keep coming back. I promise you, you will start to recognize people and they will start to recognize you and they will start looking for you and they'll start missing you. I promise you, they will start missing you. So what's your social component look like? Who are the people around you that will respond with kindness and compassion, that has that general theme that Celebrate Recovery says it's okay not to be okay, but we want to help get you unstuck. So what's your social? What's that social? Just take a minute and think about that. I think one of the things that can enhance our human suffering is our attempts to avoid facing it. And one of the ways that comes out is in our social. We try to hide it. We try to cover it up. I don't want to see it. People don't want to see it, so I don't let anybody into that space. And so I stay stuck in the space by myself. Avoiding it actually makes it worse. So we want to create space for this. Now, I mentioned this on the last podcast. I didn't get it to the last podcast. I didn't get to this, but I've been reading about Elijah in 1 Kings. And man, great. Go read it. 1 Kings, I think it's chapter 17 through 19. There's some good stuff there about Elijah. Just, man, you talk about a prayer warrior. He actually prayed boldly for no rain because of people, corrupt people, you know, God sent him to send this message that you're going to be without rain. So for 3.5 years, they went without rain. And then Elijah went through the suffering of being without rain, the very thing he prayed for, he's going through. God sends some ravens to provide these unclean birds providing food. It's like, this is not what I thought it would be. Then he sends a widow to provide the water, a poor widow that barely had ends meet, but God provided through that. And then we see Elijah kind of get into the space of his own struggle, and he's getting discouraged by what's happening around him. And I think Elijah's battling depression. And listen to 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. We know what those wilderness moments feel like if you're in struggling with depression, and came and sat down under a broom tree. I have no idea what a broom tree is. I need to look that up. But he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Now, here's a guy who is one of the greatest men of prayer in the entire Bible. He really is. He was bold enough to pray this strong prayer for no rain. It had an incredible spiritual success in his life. And then he's seeing people kind of reject his message, and he feels like, what's the point? I'm not making a difference. And he's just in a bad spot. And he's actually just so overwhelmed, he's actually talking to God. Now, here's the thing I don't want you to miss. He's being very honest with God. This is where I am, Lord. And that's why it's so important to talk about this, so that, you know, we don't get into a bad spot where we carry out something that would be bring harm to ourselves. Elijah's being very, very honest that it's enough. Let somebody else do this. Take this from me, Lord. Just like Jesus did in the garden, right? When he's sweating blood, he's got so much anxiety. God answered that prayer as a no, and it makes me wonder, you know, when one day when he's in heaven, to be able to look back and say, God, thank you for answering no to that prayer, but thank you for listening. Here's what Elijah needed in that space. He needed an encounter with God. He needed an encounter with God. And that's exactly what, what God sent him, a beautiful encounter with him. So he sends him to a cave, and the scriptures say that he passed by him. You know, he's in this cave up in the mountain. By the way, it's the same mountain that Moses was had his encounter with God, where he had to hide his face because the glory of God was so powerful. It's where the law was given to Israel, so pretty big space. And here's Elijah in the same space, and God comes to him. What he needed in this space was an encounter with God. And the cool thing is, the mountains broke. I'm going to read 1 Kings 19. It says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Sometimes we need the Lord just in our presence, passing us by, being in our presence. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Some translations say a gentle whisper. How cool is that? Sometimes in these components, we're trying to listen to the right voices. We're trying to listen for the whisper from our loving Father. Sometimes it's through people in our social gatherings that are speaking the whispers of God to get close enough to people and give them permission to speak God's truth. See, the thing about a whisper is you can't hear it from afar. You have to be close. It's like, what'd you say? And you're whispering, no, get closer. I'm whispering something to you. Get closer. And that whisper requires me to get closer and lean in to God and lean into those people that God has placed in my life so that they can whisper things that are different than the lies that we may be believing about ourselves, to speak into the whispers of comfort in our emotional to speaking comfort to the cognitive, to help us disrupt those thoughts with some new thoughts, to hear the whispers of listening to the intuition and the conviction or just discernment on, hey, what I'm feeding and putting in my body's not good. I'm going to do something different. So having those people speaking in those components can be a big part of our healing journey to help us as we struggle well with depression. Again, sometimes depression comes for some and it will go depending on the season. Again, it could be grief that we're going through that we haven't processed yet. And grief is not always just a loss of life. Sometimes it's loss and change and shattered dreams or seasons of life. And all those things are important to grieve out, to grow through that. Sometimes the depression is clinical and sometimes it needs medical attention and we need medication, but don't let that be your substitute for the heart work. You have a part in this. And if you need medication, do the medication with the heart work, with all those components that Celebrate Recovery gives us to work a gratitude list that helps the mental, it helps the spiritual, it helps the emotional. When I'm talking about taking thoughts captive and I can take time to think about the things that God is doing. In fact, I was sharing this with somebody. A couple verses earlier with Elijah, he was talking about, he was now praying for the rain to come back, and he actually sends somebody out and they come back and say, hey, there is a cloud out there, but it's small as a man's hand. I'll probably talk more about that in another podcast, but the point of it is, imagine that cloud in the sky. Sometimes the clouds in front of us feel so heavy and it's weighty and it's numb and heavy and it just feels like it's too much. When we can look for the small clouds of the gratitude of what God's doing in our life, it actually will give us a different perspective. Elijah saw a tiny man hand size cloud in the sky and it basically says, hey, get ready, you're going to get wet. That's a crazy good kind of faith in knowing that God has been faithful. He's going to be faithful even if it doesn't feel like it right now. Get ready for the rain. The blessing's coming kind of thing. And so to help us be blessed in the spite of the depression that we may be battling, but we can struggle well. And sometimes that requires medication. Let's not shame each other if we need medication. But let's all do our heart work and love each other in that space so that we don't have to face that alone. Whew, that's a lot, isn't it? I hope that's been helpful for you. I hope it's not been overwhelming. Bottom line, you don't have to figure this out on your own. Celebrate Recovery has all the tools to help. And if there's medical side you need, you go see your doctor and then we'll walk alongside you in the heart work to hit on all these points through accountability and sponsors and loving you and showing compassion and kindness in the midst of your struggle. No judgment. This isn't about faith. It's just about something's going on and you're in a stuck space and we want to walk with you to help you struggle well with that. We're in this together, all together. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being with me. If you want more information on Celebrate Recovery, go to celebraterecovery.com. Thanks for being with me today. Hope you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless.